magical. Welcome to Magic Monday. I'm Tess Whitehurst, spiritual author and spiritual teacher.
And I'm Natasha Levenger, energy healer, energy reader, and inner child healing teacher.
And this is a podcast about all the ways we experience and use the magic of the universe in our everyday lives.
That's right. And I do know my name. It just slipped.
She does, you guys, yeah, for sure.
I really do know
it. She knows it well.
Yeah. I've learned it over the years. So, how's it going? What's happening?
Yeah, happy fall, everybody.
Yes. Today, by the way, we're going to be having a Jewish priestess on, which I'm really excited about, Rebecca Arif. So we'll talk. We'll do her read her bio before we talk to her shortly.
Yeah. So how's it going? So this is the part where we check in about the cards that we drew last week and then how they relate to what we experienced in the past week. So last week you drew Orange Calcite from the Crystal Spirits Oracle, which was about creativity. And I drew Make Mistakes from Cosmic Dancer Oracle, which was about...
Oh, yeah. Also about creativity.
Kind of like about creativity. Yeah, putting yourself out there, being willing to learn as you go kind of thing.
Oh, that's interesting. Because this week, for the first time, I did one of those, like, ask me a question on Instagram, which may not sound very creative, but it did feel like a different way to be interacting with people, like saying like, hey, what do you want to know about all this stuff? And it was interesting because I love answering questions. I also like listening to people answering questions. It's like one of my favorite things.
That's so interesting. Do you feel like that's related to being an Aquarius?
Yeah, maybe it is. Because, like, my favorite kind of podcasts are where they're answering questions.
Well, I mean, like, Aquarius, it does feel Aquarian to me. Like, sharing information. Like, yes. I want to know something, and you know the answer. So let's get together.
That's so Aquarian. Yeah. Yeah, and I really love answering questions if I know the answer to them. If I don't, then I don't like to answer it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's not as fun.
Yeah. So I did that. And what was interesting, I didn't think I would feel this way because I'm used to putting myself out there. And also, it's not about me. But it still felt different. Like, it was like a new way that I was like, it felt kind of vulnerable, weirdly, after I did it.
Yeah. So what is the, I mean, I know that that's just a thing.
Instagram.
But, I mean, do you go live? Do you?
No, it wasn't live. It was just like, well, because also, okay, it's this thing on Instagram where you just have a little, it's like a little, what's it called? Sticker. And you just say, ask me a question about whatever it is. I mean, some people just do like, ask me anything. But I didn't do that. I was asking specifically if people had like, kind of, you know, woo-woo, energy healing, that kind of thing, type of questions. Because I'm right now brewing up. I've been going to my inner temple, which has been very amazing. It's like this healing place. And there's one specifically for my business. And I've been talking to the energy in there. And I really got the information about doing an energy healing class. Like, they were starting to like kind of give me a curriculum, and so I just thought, I wanted to put it out there, like, oh, what are people interested in? Like, maybe I can incorporate that. So that's what it was. It was just like, you do a little sticker and then people respond and then you respond.
And it went well.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, yeah, it was fun because I love answering questions.
Yeah.
It was fun. But the part where you were saying about in the cards about making mistakes and doing new things, that's the part where it feels resonant. Like, it was like, oh, okay. Not that I'm not used to answering questions, but specifically, you know, it's always been a thing for me. And it's like in my astrology chart very specifically about this kind of balance between wanting to be behind the scenes and also wanting to express information and express, my heart, express whatever it is. And it's always been like a real push-pull. And I really felt that, I think, specifically with that, it's like, I really want to help and I really want to know these things. And I also, I guess maybe attached, I don't know. It's just like, there's also a hesitancy to put my, to be speaking with my face.
Oh, yeah.
Like the podcast, I'm totally comfortable with. It's like my, even though we've already talked about that, I sound like Kermit to myself.
Do you still sound like that to yourself? Because I feel like sometimes. I got over my feeling of self-consciousness about my voice.
But do you listen to the podcast ever?
I mean, I listen to the end. I like to see what Brett puts at the end.
Yeah.
And but, so if I happen to hear myself talking before that, I don't mind it anymore.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I have not mind. It's just sometimes I feel like I sound like that. And sometimes I don't. Like, I've been doing Voxer with our friend Melissa. And sometimes I'll, which is like a voicemail thing. So you leave each other voice messages. And sometimes I'll hear my voice because accidentally. And sometimes I'm like, oh, God. Like, I think it's like right after I hear her voice, then I hear my voice. And it's like her voice feels like a regular voice. And then I hear my voice and it feels like. Sometimes it feels like, oh boy, very Kermit-like.
It doesn't sound Kermit-like. And it is just weird how we're just not used to hearing our voice. Yeah. Like, we hear it from the inside, but then it sounds different when you hear it recorded. Yeah. And have you heard about how, like, we as humans feel more comfortable when we see ourselves mirror image than when we see ourselves? Yes. Like, because we're so used to seeing ourselves in the mirror. I feel like it's the same type of thing. Like, in the mirror, we're like, oh, yeah, that's how we look. But then you see a picture of yourself and you're, like, uncomfortable because it looks something looks off to you. You're just not used to seeing that.
Well, you can never really see your face the way it really is what I've heard. Yeah. So anyway, that's how I feel. It's just kind of this thing about, like, first of all, it's weird because, like, our work isn't really about us, but it is coming through us. Do you know what I mean? Like, our work is a very, like, about, I mean, I guess kind of, it's like about helping and, you know, that kind of thing, but it's still through us. And so I'm still out there. And so a lot of times I feel comfortable. And this week it was like, oh, I don't know. So that's me. What about you?
You know, I don't know. I'm like, since my Self-Love Superpower came out and then I finished another Oracle deck. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited. The art is beautiful. I am looking forward to being able to announce it, but it's going to be a little while still. But I finished writing the book for that. And then I've been like getting some audiobooks going. I'm working with a producer who's doing some audiobooks. And like, I feel excited and enthusiastic. Oh, I got the Mercury Retrograde 22-day challenge up on my blog, and that was fun. But every now and then I go through this period where I am like, what other job can I do besides writing? Not because I don't love writing, but because I'm like, I just need a change. Like, I can't just keep doing the same job forever. And then I always come back around to writing, because then I'm like, when I really think about other jobs, then I'm like, those don't sound at all better.
Maybe it's like this kind of like void. You're in this sort of void and you don't need to figure it out at the moment.
Yeah, you know what I actually think it is that sometimes I just need a little break, like, from actually writing. Like, I like all the other things, I can still do them. I feel like I love doing the Good Vibe Tribe and doing videos, and I mean, that might change sometimes too, but often when I don't feel like writing, I think it's just because my brain needs a little bit of time to kind of think, like, what really feels exciting to write next. But also maybe just for a little while, don't be working on another project, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's weird you're saying this, because I was just reading, do you know Lindsay Mack? She's a, like, tarot person.
No.
Anyway, she just sent out this newsletter, and I'm not saying this is where you are, but she was talking about death cycles in your business.
Oh.
I'll forward you her email. And because she was I didn't actually get a chance to finish the whole email yet, but I thought it was really interesting, because it is very brave to acknowledge, and I'm not saying this is happening with you, but I'm just saying, like, it's just very brave to acknowledge when something is over, even if you're not, even if you're like, you still kind of like it even or whatever. Again, not saying this is happening with you, but I have thought about this a lot. Like, well, would I be brave enough if I felt like, oh, I don't want to do readings anymore? Would I be brave enough to be like, okay, I'm not going to do it. What's coming in, mm-hmm. you know? And she was saying that she has this like really super popular course for tarot. And it's like, I'm sure it makes her a lot of money. And it's very, well, it's like very popular. And she just got the information that it was done. And she was too scared at first, she was saying, to say, to acknowledge that to herself. And then she was like, okay, what if I just got curious about this information? And then she really acknowledged that, okay, it was done. And then she had to let in other stuff. So anyway, I think about that a lot, like all these cycles in like in everything that we do. And sometimes it can be scary to be like, or even to like be in the void of it, of like, I don't know if this is done or not, or I don't know, kind of like what you were saying, like, what if I wanted to do something else? Like, even being in that period of that can be, like, because for me, I want to, like, fill it in right away. Well, no. This is fine. Or, like, I'm going to fill it in with this then. Or it's fine, actually. Never mind. JK.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's like now it's happened enough times that I recognize, like, probably I'm going to just get this, excited about another project and I'm going to get going on it. But but I also do think, I suspect that it's a quality of my Sagittarius moon, because it's the same with where I live. I feel like I always like want to just question everything and be like, you know what? If I just wanted to go move to a new country tomorrow, I could do that. If I wanted to completely quit and try something totally new, I could. Like, I just like to remember that.
That you
makes
can.
Makes me feel free.
But you aren't a questioner in the Gretchen Rubin for tendencies, right?
I don't remember this particular thing that well. I have a vague memory of it.
I feel like I thought you were a questioner, and then you took it and you said you were an upholder, I think. Which is someone that does things like, I forget how they word it, but it's basically like you have your own standard. I think that's what it is, and you feel like you have to uphold it.
Okay. Yeah, I forget. I mean, like, I remember when we talked about this and investigated, but I don't remember the details of it.
I really like it. I'm definitely a questioner, which is no surprise after our conversation.
Oh, yeah.
About how I like questions.
Yeah,
I think. And also, like, questioners don't understand why anyone would be anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Which is how I feel. Like, why wouldn't you question things? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, all right. So, great wrap.
Yeah.
Like, whenever we go into the promotional part, it's always
we feel
not
a little awkward.
Yeah. It's not, we haven't figured out the segue.
Well, also, maybe that's just our thing. We're just a little bit awkward. We're not super slick. It's okay.
That's right. It's definitely our thing.
It's our brand.
So, why don't you tell us, Tess, about your book?
Okay. I'll do that. So I have a new book. It's called The Self-Love Superpower, The Magical Art of Approving of Yourself No Matter What. So it's a really fun book. It's got lots of exercises for loving and approving of yourself and lots of stories from my life about uncomfortable moments and moments of realization. So yeah, I'd love for you to check it out. Also, the Good Vibe Tribe is going to reopen on October 20th. So that's my online online school of magical arts. And we do web chats every Tuesday night. It gives you access to all my online workshops and a really sweet and fun and hilarious Facebook group too. Mm. So you can try that for free for a whole month starting on October 20th. But you got to get on the mailing list. You don't have to get on the mailing list, but it will help.
Yeah. To get on the – is there a wait list? Is that
That's what
mean?
I mean. A wait list.
And you can get that by going to TessWhitehurst.com?
Yeah. And then at the top, click on Good Vibe Tribe, Online School of Magical Arts. There's three options, big options. Click on the Good Vibe Tribe one.
You were just holding your hand out and a beam of light was in it as you were talking.
Ooh.
You were like this and it, like your hand, yeah.
Ah.
Lower. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool, let me tell ya. Oh boy. I am feeling this Mercury retrograde shadow, I gotta tell.
Me too.
Apparently I gotta tell you a lot of things because I think I said that three times. Yeah, I'm feeling fuzzy in the head area. You too.
Yeah, me too, which may or may not be related to my edible intake.
Oh.
Cannabis edibles that I've been taking to sleep.
I wish they had those here because I have been sleeping terribly.
But wait, what about the story where they do have those there and you took one and it was terrible because you took way too much?
That wasn't a regular edible. That was a Delta. Ugh, I mean, I hate to say it, but it was, I hate to use the word Delta in any context, but
yeah,
it was Delta 8, which is not, it's like the legal version of pot.
Okay, so you feel like that's contribute. I think it's because you took too much, though, right?
That
you
time.
Had that bad experience.
But I'm still way too terrified to ever go near it again.
But not other edibles, just the Delta 8.
You know what? Probably all edibles. So you're right. I wouldn't.
I mean, I think you could try a smaller amount, but who knows?
I just don't know if I would. It was too terrifying.
That sounded very terrible.
Terrifying. But. Oh, I think I was just going to say, if anyone has ever, if you're going through perimenopause and maybe estrogen related, I feel like that's what's happening with my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know if you, I have a lot of books. I'm going to read this other one that I have had around that I haven't read to see information, but still, I like to hear what people have to say about it. Okay. So for me, I just want to say that I have my 11 emails over 11 days and it's now $33 and you get little bite-sized chunks of very valuable, helpful information for how to help yourself feel more grounded, more connected, more self-love, more self-compassion. There's energy healing tools, inner child stuff. And it's all for $33. And you can get you get an email a day. And it doesn't have to be done in any particular order. They're just really easy tools that you can use for the rest of your life.
So it's new, but it's similar to 11 for 11, but it's
no, 33. It is. It's the same thing. I just raised the price recently because I was like, it just is a lot of stuff.
Great stuff. Okay, sorry.
For $11. That's okay.
Sorry to.
No. It's the same. People are probably confused if they've heard me talking about it. But I said to my newsletter subscribers, I did give them a heads up that the price was being raised. So if you want to be on my newsletter, you can find out about things like that before they happen or as they happen. So subscribe. You can go to highestlighthealing.com to subscribe to my newsletter or to sign up for 11 for 11.
I recommend it.
Thank you. Tess recommends it. Okay. Well, we do have one question that was, it was a reply to a monthly newsletter, so it wasn't worded. I'm not going to read it specifically because it wouldn't make a lot of sense that way. But basically, I believe it was, well, I only know their last name, so I'm not going to say their name. It was their initial and their last name, asked us for tips on overwhelm. So would you like to start?
Yeah.
I have
one tip. For overwhelm. It's highly effective. That's why there's only one.
Okay,
and it's to clear your clutter.
This is
universal. If you have overwhelm, you've got clutter.
Oh.
So if you clear it, it'll help a lot, a whole lot. So I know that can sound like that's the last thing I want to do. I'm overwhelmed. But the thing is, that's the thing that's going to help you really so much. Create clarity, create more time in your schedule, create more groundedness, energetically, just all of the healing things you need for overwhelm, clutter clearing will give it to you. So highly recommend taking the time to do that.
Yeah. And what I think happens when you do that is it clears the energy enough for you to then look at what's going on, mm-hmm. like what you've been avoiding. So then I would say after you do that, the next tip is to check in with your feelings and allow them to be there. And check in with your feelings from a place of self-compassion and or curiosity. Oh, what's coming up right now? That's interesting. Can I feel those feelings? Can I ask that part, what does it need from me? Like, can I just allow whatever is happening to be? That's another thing for overwhelm, asking yourself, can I allow what is to be and be and be? Because a lot of times when we're in overwhelm, we're resisting many things. So by just giving ourselves permission to allow ourselves to be where we are, and to add those extra B's mm-hmm. and B and mm-hmm. B. I can just feel every time I say that, I feel the energy just like moving a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. And then finally, I would like to offer the golden vacuum, which I mention a lot here, but that's also another thing for clearing energy. So like imagining this vacuum at the base of, I like to put it at the bottom of my grounding cord, which is attached to your first chakra, goes to the middle of the earth. And you just imagine that vacuum vacuuming out anything that isn't yours, anything you don't want in there. Then you ground yourself again, take the vacuum, put it outside of your aura. So make sure it's not close to you, but like 2 feet in front of you, and then explode it. And whatever's yours comes back to you, whatever is theirs goes back to them, and fill up with light. I just wanted to also add and fill up with light all the time. Just breathe in light. That also helps to move things out.
Yeah. And I wanted to add that part of, I think, another reason why clearing clutter helps with overwhelm is because it gives you one thing to do. I like that. Like, okay. Yeah. And it's physical like that. I love stuff like that. Like, okay. Because I feel like overwhelm often has like, oh, what should I be doing? And what should I wear? You know, like all these kind of questions about all these different things. But when it's just like, well, I'm just going to start with this. Yes. Then that already, just that choice to center your attention on that is so helpful.
Yeah, that's another reason why just saying, can I allow what is to be, is helpful too. Because right. you don't have to worry about, oh my God, what do I have to do? It's just like, I'm just going to allow everything to be. I don't have to do anything about it right this second.
That is acceptance and allowance. It's so interesting because it's like intuitively it seems like that wouldn't move energy, that it would keep it as it is. But it does, because then what you're doing is you're going into, like, you're not being separate anymore from what is, from the flow of things. So once you do that, then energy can start to move.
Yes. Yes. Resistance keeps everything stuck.
Resistance is futile. That you will be assimilated.
That's right.
Do you like Star Trek The Next Generation?
No.
You don't? I mean,
well, I never watched.
Oh. Well, that was a quote from it. It was what the board said.
I know. I mean, it's a pretty famous
quote. Oh, you do know that.
I mean, I've heard it, but if you asked me where is that from, I wouldn't have known.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved the Borg when I was in high school. I mean, I didn't love them. I was terrified of them, but I was obsessed with them.
With Star Trek?
The Borg specifically.
What's that?
Those are the guys that say resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. They're like a collective society. They're like human ants. They sort of like give away their individuality to the collective hive. Ooh. So it's like that a cult, a terrible. Space cult.
Oh, no wonder you loved it.
Yeah.
You loved cults.
Yep.
Okay, and before we get to our guest, we would just like to ask people, if you haven't already, to please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you follow us on Spotify, all these things help people to find us. And if you like us, you know, we would like us to be found. Right? That's an awkward sentence, and yet I feel it. If you like us, maybe you want other people to find us. That's what I meant.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it if you would take a moment to share about your love for our podcast, if you don't mind.
And we really appreciate, we love those reviews make us very happy.
Yeah.
We read them all. And or we have read them all. Imagine if we just sat down on a regular basis, just rereading all the reviews.
Like every morning.
I mean, it would be a nice self-love activity, except for the couple mean ones. Anyway, also, if you would like to ask us a question, we forgot to mention we're not going to be here next week.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll answer questions very shortly. You can call us at 828-333-7181. Or, I'll say it again, 828-333-7181. Or you can go to our website, magicmondaypodcast.com, and click on Ask a Question. All right. So now we are going to get to our lovely guest, Rebecca Arif. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. We'll find out shortly. Rebecca is an artist and Kohenet, Hebrew priestess, feminist, queer, dream worker, healer, activist, and teacher living with disabilities. In her work, she collaborates with unseen and seen beings to make art and ritual, with the intention to collaborate with the benevolent beings to heal earth and restore a sense of human belonging to her. She offers classes and workshops to help people manifest their most true expressions, to live an embodied life, listening to the wisdom in their bones and spirit. She also makes objects and creates public ritual as performance/ceremony. Here's our interview.
Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Yes. Rebecca, how do you say your last name? Because I'm not sure I said it right when I read your bio.
Arif.
Okay, great. So we wanted to have you on the show because as some listeners know, I am Jewish 100% according to some DNA reports. 96.6 according to others. But I was raised very culturally Jewish, although I did not know that at the time that's what that was. I was actually raised Christian. I was baptized. I wasn't really told I was Jewish, even though like my mother was raised Orthodox in Brooklyn. Like it was we were very thoroughly Jews. And what I thought was just like, I felt like I was weird because I didn't know what this was. And then as I started meeting other Jewish people, I was like, oh, I'm Jewish. Like, and I loved it. But before it was just like, I feel different and I don't know why. And I think that's what it was. But anyway, we haven't had any Jewish witches or Jewish priestesses on here. And, I really am so curious about what your journey is and how, you know, you marry the two, so to speak. And yeah, just more about you.
Yeah. So
I hope that was not too general a question.
Oh, no, that's great, Natasha. It's great to hear a little bit about your story and journey as well. I feel like a thread running through my entire lifetime has been encountering people who have somewhat similar stories. Mm. And I think that it has to do with my personal Jewish journey. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a kid, my mom's Jewish, my dad's not, and my mom's family is very assimilated. So, you know, we were just kind of very generally did Hanukkah, and then we would go to my grandparents for like Rosh Hashanah, but we didn't have that many Jewish practices. And mm-hmm. I also felt really weird because I grew up in a very Catholic and Presbyterian, like WASPy town in mm-hmm. South Jersey, which is actually a very Jewish area, except the town that we lived in. So I also felt really weird, and I really went on my own journey to find my own Judaism, and I'm absolutely the most practicing Jew in my entire extended family.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. Yeah. I don't know anyone in my family who has who practices or has sought out their own relationship to Judaism. And I have tried many times and just kind of like we'll light one candle at Hanukkah and then forget about the rest. Every year we're like, my kids are like, we always light one candle. Like, I'm trying.
Hey, one candle is more than none.
Exactly. We didn't celebrate any holidays growing up. So any Jewish holidays.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my mom like spoke Yiddish all the time, and you know, we ate traditional Jewish foods. But anyway.
Yeah, how interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think anti-Semitism is really intense. And that, I mean, oh my gosh, this is like, I could go on and on about it, but it's really sweet that you're picking out the gems though, that you're, you know, you're recognize like, oh, my mom spoke Yiddish all the time, and you know, that the cultural, the foods, and you know, those are the gems of Judaism in so many ways, the language, food, and the magic, you know. I study I've been studying for a while, a decade, something like that, and most more concentrated the last handful of years, a book called The Sefer Yetzirah, which is which is a it's a Jewish mystical text. The translation of Sefer Yetzirah is the Book of Creation, and the it's a mystical text pre Kabbalah. So most people have heard of the Kabbalah, which is the Jewish mystical magical practices and books and studies developed in Europe, Spain. But the Sefer Yetzirah is a book that predates the Kabbalah and was likely came from the Middle East. You know, we don't know exactly where. We can guess that it's where it's from because the language of it is similar to incantation bowls, which were made in that same area. But this text, the reason I bring it up related to language is because one of the premises of the book and teachings of the book is that the world was created through the letters, the Hebrew letters. And so this idea that language creates life. And so when we preserve Jewish languages of the diaspora, like Yiddish, that is magic. That's a continuation of life and a continuation of creating life.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh because I've often said that most of what my mother said was she had like 15 words for everything is messed up or or like everything is out of order. Like I know so many words for those or jerk. It's like either crazy or jerk.
There's yeah,
so
like many. Schmuck, schlamozzle, schlemiel.
Yeah, schmerl, schmageggy. And then like so many words for everything is like, she used to say a lot, you're a nervous Halalia. Don't be a nervous Halalia. It's just like so many words for that. So I guess there is a magic in it, but.
Well, and the Sefer Yetzirah, it's also like, it's important to the Kabbalah, right? It's part of the Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic wisdom.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting because they use similar language of Sephirot, which are these emanations of God, his 10 emanations. But the Sefer Yetzirah connects each Sephirot differently than the Kabbalah.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it is a somewhat common misconception. I do think, you know, it's like, I mean, the Kabbalah is definitely influenced by the Sefer Yetzirah, but the interpretation is different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the other big difference, which is probably would be interesting to you and your listeners, is that that the Sefer Yetzirah was likely written there it, well, my teacher, which I ascribe to, Jill Hammer, thinks that it was probably written by women in part. And it's actually an extremely short text, but the learnings and commentary from it are extensive, of course. But it's very centered on the feminine divine, and that the three main characters of the book, per se, are the mother letters, Shin, Aleph, Mem, and Shin. And so they kind of at the end add this father letter thing, but it's kind of a side note, and it's possible that wasn't even in the original translation. So this kind of focus on motherhood, and that's unique. And really, I mean, ancient Judaism, my work is to really uncover what's been lost through assimilation and lost through patriarchy in Judaism. And in ancient Judaism, we can find little glimmers of hints of what life was like and what, how people paid reverence to the world, to life. And a lot of it is, in my interpretation, very feminine. And when I use the word feminine, I use it in a very broad way. I'm not talking about people assigned female at birth bodies, or I'm talking about like this greater idea of feminine that is not about gender, that transcends gender. But of course, because of sexism, assigned female people and trans women have been greatly affected by the patriarchal demonization of the feminine.
So for the feminine to transcend gender, what does that mean to you? Is it like the embodiment, like creation, like what is instead of what is the potential? Is that kind of the feminine in the way that you think of it? Or maybe talk
Oh
about that a
yeah,
little
I
bit.
like that idea of the, I think that when I talk about it, I'm talking about embodied practices, worship of multiple, worship of the earth and the cosmos, really. But earth-based worship.
Yeah, beautiful.
Of the plants, of animals, of the elements, of stories of women and gender non-conforming people that have been lost and re-remembering them, both through our own selves, through the little pieces of stories that we kind of can grasp from the Torah, but also from practices that people were doing around the table or at home. And there's a Jewish practice that Russian women did. And during the days of Av, the days of Av are the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There are 10 days. And during these days, everything we do is heightened. Everything we think, everything we pray for, all our actions are heightened during this time. They're the most sacred time of the year. And there was a practice these women did of measuring candle wicks around graves, that they would go to graves during the days of Av and take the wick and wrap it around the graves and wrap it around the entire graveyard. And this was some people's job in the community to do this. And then they would make candles with these wicks during the days of Av for different families and for specific ancestors, people who had died. And then when people would light their Shabbat candles, when they would light their festival candles during the year, it was as if the light of their ancestors were being kept alive.
Through I love
that's
it.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
The practice is called soul candles. And there was a specific candle that was made, two specific candles that were woven together. They were like a Havdalah candle, the candle used for the end of Shabbat. That's a braided candle. And those two candles were to be burned on Yom Kippur, actually, which is the Shabbat of all Shabbats, the holiest day of the year. And one for the living and one for the dead. And the actual translation of some of this stuff is the prayer says that the dry bones may rise. And when you study it, which I have, what I've come to understand about it is it wasn't a metaphor. They were actually literally praying that the dry bones would rise. And that is something that's really gotten lost in modern assimilation and you know, patriarchy and Judaism, that actually we do believe in the afterlife and we do believe in people being resurrected.
Like actually being resurrected.
Like into this world?
Yeah.
Like not just their spirits, but just like people think Jesus is coming back.
Yeah. And this is the prayer that they made, that the actual dry bones would rot.
Whoa.
They believe in Olam Haba, the world to come, that the bones were going to rise, that the dead people would all come back to life.
Whoa.
So in another world, not in this world, or in like
the world to come, the concept of Olam Haba, the world to come, is that that's the Jewish idea of the Messiah. We don't believe it's like a certain person. It's that it's kind of like, I mean, my interpretation is peace on earth.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's when we can live in harmony again.
I see. Yeah.
I just feel like there's so much, like the individual things you're talking about are fascinating, but also like there's a deep current of magic that I'm feeling from while you're talking. Do you know what I mean, Natasha?
Yes. Yeah, it's so actually deep. Making me feel things, because like I'm just on a personal level, I'm like, wow, I wonder why my mom disconnected from that. You know, because it is so, to me, not to compare like one religion's better than another, but it just feels more magical to me.
Very
than
magical.
Like what I've learned in Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the whole thing about patriarchy and colonialism and white supremacy, is that all of our, those of us who are white or receive white privilege in the world, have our cultures have gotten flattened, you know. In order to receive the privilege of whiteness, you also have to give up a lot. But it's not but those things we've given up are not valued in our in, you know, white supremacy. So it's not thought of as something that you have to give up. But as we start to do, you know, to me, a lot of this is anti-racist work. Mm-hmm. As we start to do the work to recover and find out who we really are, that we find out, oh, we have a lot of depth to, and that we gave it up because, you know, our lives were threatened. I mean, Jews have been killed over and over again in many different times and places.
Yeah.
Just for being Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's really, she was probably trying to save her life and your life in a lot of ways. Which is part of how Judaism survived. Judaism survived by adapting to patriarchy. And it wouldn't have survived if it had not, like many other religions and cultures that have been disappeared because they were more focused on a matriarchal way of life.
Although it's interesting because a lot of times in Jewish culture, the women are very strong. Like,
because I feel like, I mean, I'm just guessing, but it feels like such a strong current. Like, you can't, like, energetically, it's not, you can't disappear that.
Yeah, she could definitely not disappear that. And I did have relatives that were still practicing. I just didn't understand the whole connection. But I wanted to ask you before we run out of time. Well, I definitely want to ask about your planner, but I am just curious real quick. I don't know if we can do this quickly, but how do you start? Like, how did you start to delve into this and try, like, uncouple the patriarchy from Jew? Like, how are you studying that? What was your route? How are you doing that?
Yeah, I think I started pretty young, actually. I asked my mom if I could have a bat mitzvah, which no kid does that. Yeah. And then when I came out as queer in my early 20s, and actually as I also came out as anti-Zionist, both of those things, because my Jewish family, my grandparents were very Zionist. Mm. That those two things, my queerness and my politics, both led me to a group of friends who were practicing a Judaism that was more ecstatic, singing and dancing, that was more interested in uncovering these stories that we didn't get taught.
I see.
And that was looking at the essence of Judaism. And then, you know, I worked on a Jewish farm one summer and learned about Jewish agricultural practices and so many beautiful practices. And and my brother actually introduced me to, when I was younger, a teenager, into Jewish meditation plant magic. And then eventually, I guess 12 or 13 years ago, I started a program called Kohenet, which was a program where I became ordained as a Hebrew priestess, as a Kohenet. Kohen is the name for priest. You've probably heard the last name Cohen, which that's from the line of the priest, the Kohen. Kohenet is the feminine. And so through that program, before I began the program, I had learned with a teacher of mine, Jill Hammer, and that's what led me to the work. And then I found this community of people who are really steeped in recovering and renewing priestess practices.
Oh, that's so cool. So are you teaching that?
Yes. Or,
great.
Yeah, I teach a lot. I teach an ongoing class called Embodying the Hebrew Letters, where I'm working on a new deck. I have another deck that I've made years ago, the Moon Angels deck. Malach HaLevana is the Hebrew. And now I'm working on another deck. So this class, Embodying the Hebrew Letters, I teach about the Sefer Yetzirah, and I'm connecting an animal and plant with each of the letters. So I also teach about that. I'm teaching a Jewish magic, healing, and arts class. That's in person and outside right now, but I'm looking at making it an online version of it because a lot of people have been interested. And the planner, I just made this planner with my collaborator Nomi Lam called Verdant Dreams of Olam Haba. I was talking about Olam Haba, the world to come. Mm-hmm. And it's this dreaming project. So we made a planner for the Jewish year because we both always wanted a planner that we could follow the Hebrew days along with the Gregorian days.
Yeah.
And we imagined it to be something where everyone who has this planner, we can collectively dream the world we want to see together through our sleeping and waking dreams. And so we're teaching a monthly class for the year with that. We've connected, the planner has writings from 13 collaborators and art from Nomi and I. And each of the collaborators offer some kind of ritual. So the class is a monthly class for Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, the head of the month. And we team up with the one of the collaborators each month and teach about the Jewish month ahead and set intentions and learn these lesser known Jewish earth-based practices.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Are you feel the heart online? In it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
That's
really sweet.
It is beautiful. Can I just tell our listeners that you guys didn't see the planner, but she showed it to us before we went on, and it's so beautiful. It's hardcover, green, and then the artwork on the inside is just like really gorgeous. Powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Are you teaching that new moon class online?
Yeah.
Oh, good. This is so exciting. I feel like this is so rich there's just so much information, and I'm really grateful that you are bringing it forth and that you're teaching it. It's just like I'm getting teary actually.
It's beautiful. I know, I can feel it. But so I know that our listeners are wondering now, where can they find all that stuff? What's your website and where can people find you online?
My website is Rebecca Erev Studio. com, and that's my Instagram as well, Rebecca Arrow Studio. And you can find the Dreaming the World to Come project right on the first page of my website, but the website for the planner is dreamingtheworldtocome.com.
Okay, great.
And it's then Rebecca with a K-E-K-R-E-B-E-K-A-H and then E-R-E-V.
Okay.
Yeah. Erev is my chosen name. It means evening or twilight in Hebrew. So you probably heard of the evening of the holiday. R-E-B-E-K-A-H and Erev, E-R-E-V, studio.
Okay, and one more question.
Yeah.
All right.
Sun sign, moon sign, rising sign.
Okay. I'm a Capricorn with Leo rising and Sag moon.
You both are Sag moonies.
You have a Sag moon and a Capricorn rising, and then a Virgo sun, but I'm right on the cusp of Leo actually.
Sweet.
That's lot of
really life. Sweet. My partner is the opposite end, is a Virgo on the Libra.
Right. But Capricorn with a Leo rising, that is strong energy. That feels like those two signs together are interesting blend.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty fun. I always, when people ask me about my signs, I'm like, I'm a good time.
It's a good mix with the Capricorn balance.
As you know, Sag moon, we're like totally weird. We're like weirdos. We're into everything weird.
Oh, I've never heard the Sag moon described like that. My daughter's a Sag moon. Actually, my daughter's Sag moon Leo sun.
Oh, yeah.
And Scorpio rising.
All right. Yeah, talk about those strong signs mixed together.
I did not think it was the Sag that was making her
weird.
Well, she's probably got also the Scorpio weirdness.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I thought it was the Scorpio that was doing it.
It's like curiosity about stuff, I feel like. That's how, and also like when something is offbeat, it's like, I like that. Is that? That's different. I like it.
Me too. Yeah.
That's why you like your Aquarians like me.
Yeah. Totally. I actually like all the signs. I don't have a sign I don't like. I just like all the unique aspects of all of them.
Yeah. Someone once told me they're like, a really good love match for you would be an Aquarius. Because I'm weird enough that they would be weird enough for them. You know, though I'm a Capricorn, I'm still like, I have all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
I would not have thought of Capricorns as weird, but
and I then guess my we're youngest, all weird.
Yeah. Everybody's weird. Everybody's weird. But Aquarians are the real weirdos.
The Aquarians, that's your kind of famous thing.
We're famous.
It's weird.
Yeah. Are you Aquarius, Natasha?
Yeah. I'm Aquarius. I have always felt like a big weirdo and didn't like it until at some point I was like, you know what? Why would I want to not be a weirdo?
Yeah.
No reason.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I love weirdos.
Yeah. Non-weirdos are boring.
Well, they're hiding something, right? Because everyone's weird.
Yeah. That's true. No, that's some true. People are boring. They are boring.
That's funny because I always give people, I always feel like, no, they are hiding something. Like there's something they just don't know. They haven't unearthed. They haven't tried to get in there to figure it out what isn't boring about them.
I also think that's your Aquariusness. That's yeah. your Aquariusness. You're like, how could anybody be actually boring? I'm gonna figure out a way.
I guess that could be. All right. We unfortunately have to end this. It's very sad, but thank you so much, Rebecca. Fun. We loved talking to you.
It's been mon plaisir. My pleasure. My partner's French, so I'm learning a little French and practicing.
Oh, that's great.
Okie dokie. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we haven't done it yet. We record the interview after.
I mean, not always. Sometimes we do record it before. Sometimes we do. But this time we did not.
Yeah. We used to always, and now we do not.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time for the energy report.
Aww.
I went a little high that
Beautiful.
Time. Thank you. Okay. So the energy report is where I feel into the energy of the week ahead and talk about what I feel will be helpful based also a little bit on readings from the near past week and the astrology. But, you know, this week is kind of interesting when I felt into it. And so let me just say this. I don't predict the future, which it sounds like this is, but it's just more of like I do feel into like the next few days. I'm generally able to get a sense of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I don't actually believe in like real future predictions. I feel like there's so many elements that come into it. I don't know why I've never said that caveat before, but I feel like saying it.
You have. Yes, you
oh,
have.
Oh, I have? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So anyway, it's interesting because this feeling I had was kind of like in the beginning of the week, like a shock. Like a does shock.
It, is
yeah.
It, does it have to do with Mercury retrograde? Because Mercury goes retrograde today on the day this podcast comes out.
Oh, was it on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Tuesday or something. But I don't remember. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Friday. Oh, it's actually even Sunday into Monday, I think.
Oh, right. Like the very end of Sunday, maybe.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't feel related to that. But after I got this feeling, I was like, what's going on? And there is something going on with Uranus, which is a shocking planet. And I'm not sure it's like a planet associated with like surprise.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Surprise or like.
It just made me think of it being like really avant-garde. Like, like did you hear what Uranus did?
That's really funny. Yeah, no, not like that. It's not wearing sunglasses and a scarf, but it is often associated with like upheaval.
Okay.
But to be honest, I'm not even sure. That may have been this weekend, the weekend before Monday. But regardless, I like to say regardless like that sometimes. It's from a movie and I don't remember what movie, but Brett and I often do that. It feels like a kind of like a, oh, and it feels like it in the way of information. So maybe that is related to Mercury. I don't know. But then what was interesting is I felt a lot of brightness and light after the information was revealed. It was like, oh, wow. And then an assimilation and a lot of light. So that was a big buildup to what I really feel like is that I have been noticing in the past week is people looking at relationships very intensely, more than usual in my experience. And being kind of self-judgmental about things not working out. And this could even be relationships with
a business or, you know, not just a person. But it's like this idea of, well, this isn't working the way I want it to. What am I doing wrong? Kind of emphasis. And my real feeling here is that that's so unhelpful. And I checked in with my guides. I was like, what is a better question to ask? Because that doesn't feel like a helpful question. And I'm just seeing so many people blaming themselves. Mm-hmm. And a better question they were telling me is, how can I see this more expansively? What else am I not seeing here? Or how can I show up more authentically? Or what am I needing? Or how much capacity do I have for this? So basically self-inquiry questions that are coming from more curiosity and self-compassion, as opposed to being in the part of ourselves that are in blame, that are in self-blame. So really opening up to this, oh, well, what else is possible here? Or how can I nurture myself in this moment so I can then be open to other questions? Because also when we ask ourselves, what is wrong with me? Or how am I messing this up? Or what am I doing wrong? Our brain will come up with answers to that.
Right.
And that's not, those aren't helpful answers. Mm-hmm. They just keep you locked in this kind of yucky invalidation energy.
Yeah.
So that's my feeling, is that after the, this thing, it's like this expansion of more opportunity to feel into the power of who you are, to feel into the light of like, oh, what else am I seeing here? How else can I support myself? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then, So I would just say my advice for the energy report is to ask those bigger questions, to check in. Am I coming from curiosity or compassion, or am I caught in the part of me that's blaming?
Yeah.
Even blaming other people. It's still a part that is not helpful for seeing a bigger picture.
Yeah. It's so interesting how deep the stories can be that we tell ourselves. Because, I surprise myself a lot, when I start to see something from another angle. Like, when I look at, I was blaming myself, for example, and then I was like, oh, wait, but no. Like, I can see why I did that. And I can even see, maybe I won't do that in the future. Maybe I'll do it a little bit differently. But it wasn't because I was deeply wrong or flawed or something that. And it's interesting how, without examining, sometimes those things just start to become like fact. Like, well, obviously I made a big mistake and I am like, there's something wrong with me. It's like,
well, yeah, in the inner child terms, it's like, or even in parts work, it's like, that's when you become merged with the part that believes it. And so, of course, you can only see that perspective of this wounded child part that's like, oh, this is all my fault. But if you can just ask them to take a step back, feel into compassion, then you suddenly see, oh, there's more to the story here.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that we're not taking responsibility or admitting that sometimes we make mistakes. It's more like when that you define yourself in a negative way based on your behavior, instead of like, oh, I could see, oh yeah, like that, maybe that was a mistake, but I can see why I made it. And then in the future, you know, I can have more compassion with myself and not make that same mistake, you know.
Yeah. Well, you can even, in fact, take less responsibility when you're caught in victim mode of, oh, I'm so bad. Then you can't see how you can help the other person. You're caught in your own story and you can't, you're taking less responsibility. And a lot of times when we move from that place, we do things like try to take care of the other person just to make us not feel so bad. Right. Yeah. When the best way to really get control is to have curiosity and not be stuck in that one story.
It's another example of that energetic dynamic of accepting and allowing, like when you can breathe in, like, oh yeah, that was a mistake, and oh yeah, I'm not a bad person, and I can see why I made it, and that happened, and I feel a certain way because of it, like letting those feelings in, but not there's like resistance there when it's this story about how bad you are.
Yes, it gets very sticky. Yeah, and it's, you know, if you're going to do inner child work, you can really even see yourself as a different age and see them in front of you and make sure they're far enough away so you're not merged with that. And so it isn't even like, I'm not a bad person, but telling that part of you, you're not, you know, ask it what it needs. And if it's like, I feel terrible, you can say like, do you know I know you're not a bad person? Can you tell that I feel you're not bad? You know, so that is really healing for you to feel seen by the bigger part of yourself. So along those lines, last thing I want to say is I felt very connected to the heart chakra when I was thinking about this week. So just, I would say when you think of it, bring some light into the heart chakra. Just like kind of swirl it around like you're cleaning it out and release anything that you don't want.
Yeah, and just that's massage Libra air, because the heart chakra is the air element, and Libra is ruled by Venus, so Libra season vibes too there.
The heart chakra, I thought the brain is the air element.
Spirit. So, well, like the chakra, the crown chakra is spirit, but the heart chakra is the air element.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right.
Okay, so now it's time for practical magic. So, as I mentioned, today Mercury goes retrograde. Mm. And so, first part of practical magic is if you would like to join in on the Mercury retrograde 22-day or the 22-day Mercury retrograde challenge, which you can find at TessWhitehurst.com, today's activity is to enlist the air elementals, because Mercury, so the sun's in Libra, but also Mercury's in Libra. So to do a nice little ritual to invoke the support of the air spirits, to set some intentions for what you want to revise and reframe during this Mercury retrograde period. So as you'll see in the Mercury retrograde challenge, that involves a little offering to the air spirit. So it could be a little bird seed, or hanging a chime, or hanging like a, or installing like a little wind spinner, and then invoking, like aligning with the element of air. So that's today, but there's 22 for each day. And then part two of practical magic is that October 1st is Friday. Yay, best month. The best month is here. And so as we get closer to Samhain, which is October 31st, Halloween, the veil is thinning. This is why I believe fall is so great. As soon as I start to sense fall, like the light of the fall, the vibe of the fall, it's like that the doorway between the worlds is opening. You can feel that magic. You can feel eternity. So my suggestion for October 1st, it really could be any time this week, is to create an altar to your beloved dead. So I already have...
This week?
Yeah. I already have my grandparents, but I'm going to do an altar when I get back from my trip, of my cats who have passed, my cousin who has passed, like the other loved ones besides just my grandparents. And then maybe place some items that represent, like some offerings to them, like favorite foods, favorite drinks. You could do some flowers.
Yeah.
Candles, crystals.
I always have that up, I guess.
Yeah.
I already have my extensive cat altar.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a place where you can tune in. You can maybe burn incense to your beloved dead. Just kind of even more be aware of that interconnection. You can feel their presence. I feel like you can feel their presence a little more during this time of year.
Yeah. I love it.
Thanks.
All right. So before we draw our cards for the week, let's just do a little housekeeping. You can find me at highestlighthealing.com. And on Instagram at Highest Light Healing. And you can find us at MagicMondayPodcast.com. On Facebook, Magic Monday Pod. We have a little listeners group, Magic Monday Podcast Listeners. You can ask to join. What else? I've already mentioned, you can ask us a question on there. And did I say Instagram? Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, but we, I think so. Magic Monday podcast. Also, we have a newsletter. This is, I said last week, but this week I'm going to be sending out the monthly newsletter, which is actually a good time because we're not going to be here next week. So you won't get that regular Monday newsletter where Tess sends out pictures of the cards, the pictures we chose, and info about the guests. Is that what you do?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can get it all there if you sign up for the newsletter. And what about you?
You can find me at TessWhitehurst.com. That's where you can find the Mercury Retrograde Challenge. You can find me on Instagram at Tess4444, on Twitter at TessWhitehurst, on Facebook at TessWhitehurstAuthor, and on YouTube at TessWhitehurst. And I will be posting the Mercury Retrograde Challenge stuff on my social media, as well as, I mean, it's already all up on the blog post.
All right, great. Well, this week I'm picking from the Light Seers Tarot, which I haven't done in a while.
And I am drawing from my Magic of Flowers Oracle.
So I've been doing a new thing because I don't usually pick tarot cards, but lately I have been. And I've been like tuning into, well, so our friend Melissa, who we've mentioned before at Real Magic Mystery School. Is that the name?
Yeah. Her website is?
Yeah.
Realmagic.school, I think.
Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes. She has this really wonderful class about reading tarot intuitively.
Oh, it's so good, you guys.
Yeah. So we highly recommend that. But also, I've been doing that lately, just like forgetting whatever, like the dictionary, like Google says. You know, whatever, I'm not going to look up what the real quote unquote meanings of the card are. I'm just going to feel into what I see there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing today. And this is King of Swords reversed. And this particular card, it's so beautiful. I love this deck. It has a lot of birds. And it's funny that you mentioned that about the air element.
Yeah.
On Monday, because there's so many birds here. And it's just like very, like, the wind is blowing through him and it's like, yeah, this very visual, like I can just feel the air, but it's reversed. And in this case, like what I really tune into with is a sense of, it's almost like the answer to the overwhelm question of really just kind of letting go of control for a little bit and just letting it all blow in the wind.
Yeah.
Like whatever you're resisting, it's coming back again to letting go of resistance. Like whatever you're resisting, whatever is like, if things are feeling stuck, like just let it blow in the wind, let it go. Letting go of this idea of like overthinking or over that, just allowing it to be. So that's what I'm seeing there.
That gave me goosebumps the way you described that.
Oh,
I can feel that energy so much. And that is really so, I feel like that is Mercury retrograde, like how to dance with it too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that, so Mercury is sometimes described as the trickster. And so then sometimes people say like Mercury retrograde, he's like tricking you or kind of like messing with you. And I feel like that only gets to you really when you need things to look a certain way, when you feel attached to them.
Yeah.
When you dance with it, when you breathe through it, when you allow it, then it can help. And then, and even that transformational energy, like it helps heal. Like it's that alchemy, like you can let go of it so it can be transformed in a positive way.
Yeah. When I look at this card, I felt such a strong wind, like the idea of wind being cleansing, you know, like really just letting it cleanse through your whole system. Like I've never thought, it's interesting because my information about teaching my next class is about clearing, and I've been getting all this information about new energy healing ways to clear, and I've never thought about it with wind, like imagining this wind blowing through your system.
Oh yeah, like sometimes I like to stand out in the wind and let it cleanse me. That I got idea from one of Ellen Dugan's books. I think it's Practical Protection Magic is what it's called. And yeah, she talks about the wind as being like an alternative to sage or selenite wand or something.
Oh, it feels so good right now.
Yeah, especially when it's in sunlight too. Then you got that double disinfecting, energy disinfecting and moving sort of vibe. So I drew Datura, which is True Motives. So in this card, the woman in the card is looking into a crystal ball. She's looking deeply. So the description says Datura counsels you to look beyond the surface and into the depths to see what lies beneath. Sometimes we conceal our own motives even from ourselves. Are you being honest with yourself about your intentions and desires? Is there something that you will benefit from finally admitting to yourself and others? Relax, look deeply, and allow divine clarity to dissolve all murkiness and cut through secrets and illusions like a laser beam. This is kind of like reversed King of Swords energy too. Like cut through the illusion and see, you know.
Also, it's very the energy report of what I was saying about like when you're not in that victim mode and you're just letting yourself see, oh, what am I feeling here actually? What's actually going on here? Like, yeah.
And I do actually one of the days of the Mercury retrograde challenge is a journaling exercise about like, what are my secrets I'm keeping from myself? How can I let those flow? You will know when you have connected with the truth, when you experience an energizing sense of relief.
Yeah, that's really nice. And that is what you feel many times when you look at that part of yourself as being separate and just say, like, what, you know, like, you feel this way. Like, I see you. I see what you're. Do you know that I love you? Do you know that I see you? Like, that is like, oh, when you really feel that, it's like such a relief to feel seen by yourself. All right, everybody, we'll miss you next week. Have a great couple weeks.
Thanks for listening.
It's just like there's also a hesitancy to be speaking with my face.